The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
We see from the ayat of the Quran, the way Allah addresses humanity, that the words are meant to evoke a sense of communal being, a sense of being together. Even in the acts of worship, right? We have Jamaat Salat. We know that you and I could pray at home on our own. The reward is minimal. Hadith says once you get to 10 people and above, that if all of the trees were pens, and mashallah, you have millions of trees in this province, you just look at the mountains and you can imagine. And Allah says in the hadith, or the Prophet says, if all of the oceans were ink, and you have an ocean just beside you, and if all of the angels and jinn were to try to record the reward of one rakat of a jamaat prayer with more than 10 people, the hadith says they could not record it. Right? So Allah is showing us that even in acts of worship, in the jamaat prayer, the rewards are multitude, they're magnified. Salatul Jummah, you can't pray Jummah on your own. You can't pray it with two people, not with three, not with four. Minimum of five, including the imam, have to be there. And again, the more the merrier, the more the people that come, the greater the reward factor. All of these acts of worship, Hajj doesn't take place on its own. It's in Dhul Hijjah for a set number of days. Everybody has to leave their home to go to Mecca and the surrounding area. Again, Allah is showing us through all of these examples and many more that the community is the ideal environment that we should be in. And even if we look at hadith, you know, there are multiple traditions from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon all of them, that guide us to the importance of communities, that guide us to the importance of thinking about more than just ourselves. You know, I talked about this a few nights ago, how we live in a very individualistic world. We live in this selfie world. The Prophet of Islam shows us that no, it's quite the opposite. And so we all have heard this very famous hadith of the Prophet where he says, "Man asbaha la yahtamma bi umur al-muslimin falaysa bi muslim." The person who wakes up, the Muslim who wakes up in the morning or wakes up and has no care and concern for the Muslim community, they cease to be Muslims. And the Prophet goes on to say, and the person who wakes up as an apparent Muslim and hears another fellow believer calling out, asking for help and doesn't respond, then we fail to be Muslims. And so coming back to the topic of, as we move on in this discussion about community building, as I said, the Quran might not speak about it directly, but there are indirect ayat where Allah uses words which should get us to think about why he's using the plural many times. If we want a practical example, we have no better place to look than the life of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Yes, without a doubt, he suffered challenges in Mecca for that first 13 years. There was no ability to really create a community in that sense. But yet you still see when he was preaching Islam in a clandestine fashion, you know, underground, those early Muslims, they were looking out for one another, right? They recognized that they were a minority in a minority, right? They're in Mecca in the belly of the beast, surrounded by the polytheists. There's 5, 10, 20, 50 Muslims, 100 Muslims. And they were together, they were strong. They would go house to house having sessions. What did the Quran, what did the Prophet get of the Quran? And they would read those ayat, they would memorize, they would try and learn those verses. They would have these little private sessions, getting to know Islam, getting to know the Quran, learning what Rasulullah was giving to them piece by piece. They didn't have a jamaat in terms of an organization and a mosque to go to and programs that we have today, and we have the ability to have because of the freedoms that this country has apparently given to us. But they had that sense of love and commitment to one another, right? They were concerned about one another. They tried to do what they could. They tried to, for example, buy people. If they're enslaved and they were Muslims, they would try and buy those people out of slavery. They worked together. You know, much like many of our communities did when we came to Canada initially in the 60s and 70s. We worked together because we were an extreme minority. But then things began to change and people began to get separated for whatever reasons. And we see where we are in the world today and in Canada today. So the Prophet did this initial community building as much as was possible in Mecca. But then he moves to Medina after 13 years of hardship and struggle and efforts. The opportunity comes to move to a new land, to establish a government, to establish a system where he becomes the head of state. And one of the first things that he does, as we know, is to build the masjid, what was known as Masjid al-Nabawi, the Mosque of the Prophet in Medina. And you know, you look at the history of this masjid, initially it was used for everything. People would come and pray. In fact, you had people who would even sleep in the masjid. They're known as Ashab al-Suffa, right? Suffa is actually, interestingly enough, the same word where we get the name or the word sofa, that you have a sofa at home. Actually, it comes from Suffa, and it was made into English into sofa. So anyways, the Ashab al-Suffa were the homeless people of the community, homeless Muslims who didn't have money to build a home in Medina to live, and they are allowed to live and sleep and, you know, be there in the mosque full time. Eventually, Allah said, no, now the masjid is a place of worship. These homeless people need to get on their own two feet. They need to have establish a life and do for themselves. But early on, the masjid was the focal point of the community. The homeless had a place to sleep there. The Prophet would adjudicate. Issues of dispute came up amongst the community. The Prophet would be there to listen to the people, to pass verdict, to be the judge. People were in the masjid, not just to pray Fajr and this and then leave. No, it was again the focal point, the hub of the community. And I think that's one area where we have drifted, and maybe because of our busy lifestyles in Canada, that we don't give the masjid the importance. You know, traditionally, many of our centers, and I've technically been coast to coast because I lived in Halifax with the community, and I've lived in Vancouver with the community. Now I just have to move to Yellowknife and be with the northern community and go back home. But I've been from coast to coast, and unfortunately, our centers don't remain open, right? They're there for an hour, the door opens, we pray, and then you're told, okay, get going because the custodian has to go and do other stuff. And I get it, in the lifestyle that we lead, maybe it's not practical. But when I see other Muslims and keep their masjid open 24 hours and they literally have a sign, turn the lights off when you leave. Right? Just 2 weeks ago, we were in Niagara Falls and we stopped in St. Catharines to pray Dhuhr Asr. Beautiful masjid, Masjid al-Nur, I think it's called. And literally there's a sign on the door that if you're the last one to leave, just turn the lights off and lock the door. Because the door is open all day until the end of Isha prayers. There's no custodian there except for Allah. Right? There's no security cameras, nothing except Allah to protect the building. But if other Muslims can have a center which is open 24 hours a day, or at least for the good part of the entire daytime hour, and people can come and have jamaat or pray on their own and begin to establish a foundation of a community, of a jamaat, then I would say it's even possible for us, even in this part of the world, in our communities. And so one of the things, as I say, that the Prophet did is establish this community of believers. He had the masjid as the focal point of the community. He didn't allow others to create friction in the community. We know the story of Masjid al-Dhirara, referred to in chapter 9, Surah At-Tawbah, where a competing masjid was built by the hypocrites. And although in Islam it's haram to destroy a masjid, and if you have to demolish a masjid to build a new one, then we are told in the fiqh that you need to use the wood, the concrete, whatever was in the original building, and somehow it has to be repurposed into the new building. But when it came to Masjid al-Dhirara, because this was a mosque that was built on other than taqwa, on other than the foundation of piety, Allah told the Prophet that you have the right to destroy this masjid. And historians mention that not only was it leveled to the ground, but the wood used or the palm fiber were burnt and the ashes were strewn. Right? So Islam, this one example, this one verse shows us that Islam does not take favorably to disunity in a community, to competing masjids being set up. Now, there's no problem with two masjids in a city, because you may have, like in Toronto, the greater Toronto area is 100 kilometers, let's say, from east to west. You can't have one masjid because the city is just too big. But if you build a center and then somebody builds a competing masjid or Imam Barga across the street because they got into political difference or, you know, ideological in terms of cultural background, then that's a problem because you're disrupting the community. You're disrupting an opportunity to have harmony and unity within the mu'mineen.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.